From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. R-E-I.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Rap Boys and Girls, where we have this week none other than Lee's boss on the line, Henry.
Hello.
What? I just wanted to say something.
What?
Because I weren't it out before. This is serious. It's no joke, no attack, no personal insults intended in this in any way. It's just
right.
A simple fact. Do you realise that since we've been having guests on the show...
Yes.
...that Henry is actually the eighth guest we've had? That makes him Henry the Eighth.
Oh, no. That was such a crass statement.
It's true.
Well done.
It's
well done.
I love that.
If you've been rehearsing that, don't bother next week.
It probably has all week.
Yeah, probably, Henry, you're right. Anyway, welcome back to Postcard from Pop Rap Boys and Girls. We then get on to some very tricky statements going around at the moment, which started life on the citizen journalism world with Sir Cliff Richard, whose home was raided while he was down in Portugal. In fact, he was on air on a station that we're great friends with, Kiss FM down in Portugal. And... He's didn't know what was going on. The press got there first. Funny that. And so Cliff hasn't done anything about this. He hasn't talked about it. And yesterday on his Facebook page, he posted the following message. Up until now, I've chosen not to dignify the false allegations with a response, as it would just give them more oxygen. However, the police attended my apartment in Berkshire today without notice, except it would appear to the press. I'm not presently in the UK, but it goes without saying that I will cooperate fully with the police should they wish to speak to me. And beyond stating that today's allegations is completely false, it would not be appropriate to say anything further until the police investigation has concluded, which I kind of agree with. But it is a bit strange how the press got there, isn't it?
Who are we asking? Yeah. I have a very strong opinion on this.
I so know you
would like, if you would like to jump in here, Henry, because I'm going to tear Mr. Wiltshire's argument apart.
Well, you know, can I just say... I think that Cliff Richard, I don't think he's guilty here. There's a lot of talk about the fact that he never got married and all that sort of stuff. And there are people out there, believe it or not, who connect people who are gay to people who are pedophiles. I actually don't believe this. I am going on his side with this. I think someone's jumping on some bandwagon somewhere in the world. That's just my opinion.
I think what you're saying is quite right. And actually, on the citizen journalism aspects of it, which Eric's been banging on about this week, citizens journalists should hang their heads in shame. Mm. Because not only have they accused him of this for months, and Sir Cliff has actually...
it's not monthly, it's years.
Yeah, but in recent months, there's always been rumours about it, but this has really taken off on the citizen journalist front. And also, remember...
Not a fan, are you? Not a fan.
And all these citizens journalists, remember that they've also... And this is the truth, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and everybody else. They've actually accused him of killing Jill Dando as well. What an incredibly ludicrous situation there is. But Sir Cliff should hang his head in shame over this, because very simply, the facts that he knew what was being said about him, and he chose not to stand up and be counted on this. Yeah. He also knew that the police were ultimately investigating.
But Lee, I'm going to stop you there for a second, because so many times throughout his career, there have been allegations about this, allegations about that, then who he goes out with, and yada, yada, yada. And the one thing I just cannot remember, and you can correct me, please do, I cannot remember Cliff Richard coming out and chastising people when they've got it wrong before. He just doesn't do it. He's like, I'll tell you another one who's like it, Murdoch. He never comes back.
Exactly. But what the only thing that he's actually chastised are the press for turning up at the time that his apartment was about to be raided in Sunday.
Is he chastising the police or the press?
Well, exactly. But what I wanted to say, what actually happened, the police told the press that they were going to be raiding his Sunningdale residence, which is something that in the history, the whole history of the press and the media has always gone on. The press and the police work together hand in hand and always have done, and pray to God they always will do. Mm. And this is, and the what happened there is what has to be seen to be happening in the world. It is the basic tenet of the press and the media's connection together. Since Harry Redknapp, 4 years ago, actually inexplicably won a case against the police for tipping off the press about them going to raid his home, based on the fact that ultimately, I think, whatever happened, I can't remember. But since then, one of the basic rules of the investigation of crime has been fractured by this intense, ludicrous hatred of the press and the media. And it's because...
I've got a message for you. This is from Susanna, who writes very... Looks like she does write in 140 keystrokes, basically. it was always going to happen to Cliff somewhere down the road. It was just a case of when, and he will be found innocent because God will look after him.
And also bear in mind that the very press that he's attacking, along with the police, to a man, apart from two newspapers, I think Eric and I were trying to discover what they were. I think The Independent was one and to an editor, every newspaper in the British Isles has backed Sir Cliff's statement that he is innocent and put it on the front pages. Cliff, we're sorry for the trials and tribulations you're going to go through, but grow up.
Ooh, that's a bit harsh.
Yeah. I don't care. I'm a journalist. I'm allowed to say things like that.
Oh, right.
I think that Cliff Richard is all grown up at the age of 70. What is he? 73. I think your point is that it has to be said, Lee Banks, that you know the press has been as they can build people up and knock them down, of course, and they built him up for decades and decades and decades, and now he's criticising them because
they've not even knocked him down yet. They've still not knocked him down, Henry. They backed him.
They backed him. Yeah. Anyway, we move to Australia for the next story because the ex-state premier's daughter down in Australia has been charged with murder. What's going on, Henry?
Oh, look, you know what? Neville Rann was our Prime Minister, and he was a Labour Prime Minister back in, I think it was, I'm reading this from 1976 to 1986, 10 years, which is a long time. And just to explain that here we've got federal politics and state politics, and New South Wales is the state of New South Wales, and he was our Prime Minister. He died, unfortunately, in April, but he lived literally around the corner from us here on Bondi Beach, just in the next suburb. And of course, it's a very salubrious area. His daughter, who is 26, Harriet Rann, got a habit with drugs, obviously, and the worst drug of all, as far as I'm ascertaining in this in this era, it's just a dreadful drug ice, and ended up in a place called Surry Hills and Redfern, which are pretty dodgy areas. And now she was with two other guys. She killed, this is allegedly killed the drug dealer over $70. She's in jail. They're holding her. The mother has just flown into Sydney to try and save her from this. The weird thing is that she's come from this salubrious lifestyle, which is ironic. And that's my point about the fact that her father was a Labour leader, because they were there for the working classes, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And how long have you been living on the streets, Henry?
Not long.
No, so is this since her father died, or...
Oh, no. I'm not sure, but I know it has... I get the feeling, and you know, I don't know this, but I get the feeling that she was basically kicked out of home by her mother and ended up on the streets because she was doing ice. And when you do ice, you become very aggressive, and you have energy that you don't normally have, and you do things...
It's a form of speed, isn't it? A form of amphetamine.
It's just much worse than speed. It's like speed on speed on speed, you know? Mm-hmm. So this is hanging all over the courts at the moment, and and we can't say much about it because it's a legal issue at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh, yeah. Yeah, we'll leave it alone. This is where Lee's also going to get incredibly fed up, but we don't care at all. because this week is the commemoration of August the 14th, 1967, when a Labour government outlawed the offshore radio station. So in other words, they couldn't beat them, so they made a law to get rid of them.
That's right.
That's democracy, if you like, isn't it? Anyway, what happened was that a good friend of mine, Rick, has been running an internet station with lots of radio memories on it called Offshore Radio Memories. And being the kind of journalistic fellow that I am, I was listening for journalistic reasons yesterday. and I was listening to a May Day call, which I'm sure most everybody's heard before, including yourself, Henry.
And yes, indeed.
It was a May Day call from the Radio Caroline ship Mi Amigo with the people from Thames Coast Guard, and of course in the middle was the Harwich lifeboats. And for years and years and years and years, and even afterwards, the whole reason that the government said that offshore radio was dodgy was nothing to do with the music, nothing to do with the radio, yada, yada, yada. But it was because, potentially, that it could interfere with emergency broadcasts from ship to shore.
Mm.
So,
oh, this is so old. I've heard this so many times over the years.
So there I am listening to this May Day call yesterday, which I've listened to, like you, Henry, dozens of times before. And guess what happens, Henry?
What?
The May Day call was interfered with by other traffic. It was blotted out.
By an Italian.
By an Italian chappy. It was not blotted out by the signal of the radio ship. It was nothing to do with the radio ship. They were lying to us.
That is a very big story, actually.
Yeah. But
they were lying.
I just say, you know, I don't want to, you know, harp on about this, but, you know, Radio Caroline, of course, you were talking about this happening in 1967. My girlfriend, who was born in 1968, is called Caroline.
Oh, shut up.
Interesting.
Shut up with the age.
Oh, look, I get emotional about this stuff. Now, yeah, back in the 1980s, Spangles Muldoon from Radio Caroline, whose real name was Chris Carey, ran a station called Radio Nova, and we were jammed by the national broadcaster RTE. So I'm very familiar with this, but for it to happen these days...
It's ridiculous. Will you stop talking to me? Somebody on the bridge of SS
Starship Enterprise.
That's the one. And I just find it flabbergast. I was sitting there, and it was like that light bulb moment where I thought, hang on, for all these years...
When your flab was ghastly.
Yeah, they flipping well told us something that weren't true.
It weren't true, ladies and gentlemen.
It weren't true.
I tell you, it weren't true.
Can I just correct a statement we made at the beginning of this item?
What?
I would not be bored by this. I have strong feelings, as strong possibly as you, over pirate radio and the offshore radio memories of and things past in that. I want to say something very clear. What? That I believe, and one reason I go on Henry's station with him, and I come on here, and I go on various other stations, is because I believe, compared to the traditional radio, like BBC, like all the other proliferation of commercial radio stations, which are there and play anodyne music, that we are the closest thing to pirate radio that is now played on the air.
Lee, and I agree with you, but the strange thing is that for most of the time, apart from some of the numpties in London who were just on drugs, for the most part, stations like Radio Nova in Ireland, like Caroline and like some other ones that I will never ever mention, not that I don't like them, I just thought I shouldn't, their technical standards were probably better than even some of the BBC standards.
Absolutely.
Mm. And the broadcasting standards were certainly better.
Of course they are. The BBC standards of broadcasting and content are woefully abysmal, and they should all be taken out and shot.
Can I just mention something here, Eric? You talk about, you know, I noticed that when we go on air right at the second, at the top of the hour, Chris Curry, who ran Radio Nova, if, you know, I was a newsreader on that station, and if the DJ didn't have the second hand of the clock wasn't at 12, they got fired.
Yep.
And if I didn't finish the news at 3 minutes past the hour, at exactly the second, being on the 12 mark, I got fired.
Yep.
That's Is that why you're on radio. Bondi now?
The BBC is not this accurate. And that's true. Yeah, that was your point, true. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, we love the offshore stations. And whilst a lot of people sort of go on and on about it, the fact is, we've got the memories of those stations. And this isn't a political comment at all. This is a statement of fact. The amount of people that have said on Facebook recently, the reason that they have never and will never vote for Harold Wilson's political party is purely because of the Marine Offences Act. In fact, they vote against him on principle. That's a good message to other politicians. You screw around with the youth of the day, you could be in trouble for decades to come, so don't do it, because you'll make a mess.
Yes, and decades as well. I mean, really.
Yes, absolutely.
Can I just make a point on that? Because that's an interesting point I'd never thought of before. But remember, when this was done, it was 1968, wasn't it?
67.
67. Sorry, dear. Right. And it was right at the height of the hippiedom, the era of love and peace, when actually the youth of that period had become the major political force and everything was being stripped away from them. And taking away the radio stations was just another act of strange viciousness on part of the authorities, who hated and feared the children of the wild children.
Yes, exactly. But that's the same through any... Hang on. Incoming message. There we go. He's there again. That's so rude.
is that Uhura?
No!
Yeah. Or Kaching?
It's not. It's a Klingon. Right? I'll give you a clue. It's a Klingon.
It's a Klingon, okay.
Yeah, bad news, Klingons.
I give up. Anyway, according to this article, the so-called experts have warned that the internet, apparently, allegedly, possibly, is running out of space.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Mm. The internet is running out of space. Hello!
How much space has it got?
Indefinite.
You know, it's funny.
I'm almost speechless at the level of this journalism.
You know, years ago, I put a page up on, I don't think Facebook exists, so I put it up somewhere, and I said, you've reached the last page of the internet, now go outside and have a walk. Yeah. but of course it's endless, for goodness sake.
It's the way it's constructed.
Yeah, but what about these little gateways and things like the...
You mean the routers? Border
gateway the border gateway protocols, dear.
Well, that's another reason.
Those are the nuts and bolts of the internet.
No, that's just bad description of what the internet is. To start with, I'll tell you, I've got a good way of explaining.
This isn't time to go and make a cup of tea and a milkshake or anything else you fancy, lady. This is like the break. No,
this is an analogy, right?
This is an analogy. So think of one of those sausages that goes round in the circle rather than being straight. When it goes in, the frying pan, you put little holes in it, and the fat goes psh, 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 in all directions. And so the fat can go round clockwise or anti-clockwise.
I'm getting hungry.
That's how the interweb works. Because if one lot,
those are little pricks.
Yeah, like you. And
we told Henry not to say rude words, and
say a word. You said it.
I was doing your analogy of little pricks in the sausage. Little pricks in your sausage.
So, for example, if one route goes down to the west, it can go round to the east and vice versa. Secondly, it is true to say that the interweb is controlled by a bunch of servers, mainly in America.
But they serve you sausage.
And... The irony of it is, and let me just cast your mind back, Uncle Lee. No, it's not, but there's no point. There's no point. I was just going to go back to the early 90s.
I'm ready to go back with you.
You are? What, to the early 90s?
Oh, no, I can't remember that.
I'll ask Henry.
Can I just interrupt you for a second?
Well, you're going to anyway, so what's the difference?
Yeah, well, I'm just becoming like Lee, just interrupting you whenever I want. The internet, the reason the internet, look, there's two things. There's the World Wide Web, which is it's like a blanket over this technology, this framework, which is called the internet. Yeah. And it was first built by the army in America, and I'm sure you already know this, Eric. There was not one server. They had five servers in case their main server got bombed. They could spread their information over 10,000 servers. That's what started the internet.
And they used to, against the myths that they used to be, they even used to use a satellite to do it.
And superglue.
Yeah. They used a satellite. And everybody said, you can't use a satellite for the internet. The latency will be too big.
The what?
The latency.
That's people coming in late. That's all the bricks coming in late.
Oh, God. Anyway, there is one thing that could potentially cause the internet a bit of problems.
Yeah.
Is if the storage devices, as in the routers and the like, or the main servers, were having a bit of problem and, you know, not getting bigger. But let's face it, Lee, this is simple. What? In the early 90s, I paid £100 for a hard drive.
Me too.
Did you get it on a car boot?
No. It stored...
How much is a hard drive now?
Just a minute, I'll explain. So I had a 10 meg hard drive, which cost £100.
Mm-hmm.
£10 a meg.
A meg. Today, not that long ago, I bought a 3 terabyte hard drive, 3 terabytes for €89.
I know, it's amazing, isn't it?
Bill Henry.
It's amazing. So
it is amazing.
If the technology is going that quickly, I'm sorry, but whoever penned this story needs to be taken out and shot.
You can't take everybody out and shoot them. I've already shot the press. I've shot somebody anyway.
Have you?
Answer this question. Very simple, straightforward question then.
What?
Why do huge websites keep crashing?
Mainly what is called DDoS attacks.
DDoS?
Yes.
What's that? Don't tell me. Oh, no.
We'll do that for you one time. Anyway, we're nearly out of time. My address is Aisle 2 Walmart. A runaway teenager has been reunited with his family after hiding out for several days in a local supermarket.
Good lad.
14-year-old kid.
Yeah.
And he was really smart about it, wasn't he?
Yes.
That's what I mean. Yeah, good on him.
Yeah.
Because he even had, what do they call it, a douchebag in America? He had a nappy.
A douchebag?
Yeah. So he wouldn't have...
Does he say that?
Not a douchebag. What are they called? A diaper. He had diapers. Diaper. Gosh, I hope I didn't get that so terribly wrong.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have to explain there was a song called I'm a Teenage Douchebag by a lady group, so it's perfectly acceptable to
right,
say.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Anyway, he had a diaper, and I think that was forward thinking because he wasn't sure that he'd be able to get to the toilets. But he stayed there for like four nights or something, didn't he?
Yeah, clever boy. And he was even charging stuff with Walmart as well. It was amazing. Anyway,
that's in your neighbour's car.
This is going to cause a chaos, but I've got to give an award out this week.
All right, well,
and it's got to be the Stupidity of the Week award, and it goes to Germany. Specifically to Mr. Daimler.
Yeah.
Mr. Daimler's got this idea of digital detox. So that, rather than checking your email when you're away on holiday, the German vehicle maker is offering staff an email holiday as well. Meaning, they are going to delete the work emails whilst you're away on leave.
That's ridiculous.
That's really responsible.
So, excuse me. Hello, Mr. Daimler. I am just about to send you an email to your executive who's going on holiday today. And I'll send it a minute after he's gone on holiday, ordering 2,000 new cars.
Yeah, but you're just being awkward by sending it then, when you know.
But, I mean, how stupid can you be?
Insanely stupid. It is ridiculous, isn't it? That is ridiculous. What else can you say?
They are just numpties.
More numpties. There's a lot of numpties around, isn't there?
Yeah,
there is. Henry, there are.
You know what? I went to Europe recently, and as you would know, Lee G. Banks.
I stayed at my house, and he's been rude to me all the way through this show, hasn't he?
And that's another story.
I just realised what it means, Henry.
What?
What?
Lee Garçon Banks.
Henry, gosh on!
Anyway,
I love Lee Banks. Anyway,
we've got one more time for one more story, and I thought this was very apt for Lee.
Oh, no.
And for Henry's mates.
Oh, mm-hmm. I know about it, yeah.
Yes, because if you go to London, for example, there are so many places in London where you go behind the bar and you sort of talk and they go, "Hi, copper!" Because they're all Australian. That was very bad Australian. I apologise to the green room, I'm sorry. But what's happened is it's going to be the first dedicated bar job board, which means a website, in the world, because mm-hmm. there's so many people want to get to the industry. The industry's so bloody old-fashioned, it doesn't know where it's going.
Again, Henry.
I know, I did, I'm sorry. So it's so flaming old-fashioned that they can't get to the new world.
Three.
What?
Three. Flaming is a swear word?
It's not. I'm not putting a euro in for the flaming.
You're not putting a what in for us, are
you? I'm not putting a euro in for flaming.
Oh,
if I swear...
I see, yes.
If I swear in the office, I have to put a euro in a pot. It's cured my swearing overnight, mate.
I've heard about this, yes.
Anyway, so it's... a website... is operating this site. It's the Spirited Bar Recruitment
Bar
Service. So, Henry, you can tell all your mates in Bondi when they want to come to England, all they've got to do is go to barjobsite.com. What could be easier?
Can I tell you a true story about this?
Well, you'd have to be quick.
Well, it's a wonderful thing. I just want to say it's a wonderful thing. I think it's a great idea. Sorry, Lee.
That's all right. No, I worked at the longest bar in the world.
Henry!
What?
Yes. Henry, rule of show, don't apologise to Lee.
No, don't. I worked at the longest bar in Filey. And do you know how long that bar was?
Oh, about
two miles long.
About 2 hours.
Two miles long it was. And do you know what I was sacked for?
What?
Go on.
Because I'm 6'5", my shoulder lined up with all the optics along the bar, and I worked out that if I held my arm up against my shoulder with a glass, I could fill each glass out of each optic, drink it at the other end, then walk back doing it the other way. I got so drunk they sacked me.
Was that a joke?
That was the truth.
That was the truth.
Do me for it now. It was.
Did two horses walk into the bar or anything like that?
No. Henry, don't lead him. Henry, don't lead him there. For goodness sake, he'll stay stable over all of it. Anyway, barjobsite.com is where you need to go. Henry, it's time for you to say goodbye.
Goodbye, Henry.
Oh dear. And it's time for Spike.
That's what Rachel says. She says goodbye, Rachel. So I know. Say goodbye.
She's a girl.
She's girly. time to say goodbye from Spain in Spanish.
I'm not saying anything now anymore because you've both been really rude to me.
Oh, well.
Fuck else.
Right, well, I've got to say goodbye, everybody, then. So goodbye on behalf of Lee because he can't
say goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. See you next week. Take care. Bye bye. Goodbye.